a ton. Oh man.
All right, you guys, we're back. Wasted Time with Tom E., Jesse.
Jesse, everybody.
In the house here, live from the Comic Strip Live today. We got Mike Burton here, as usual.
We are here.
Yep. And who else we got?
It's like seven shows in a row I've done now.
Seven.
And they've only done three, which is a weird
seven
thing.
Seven means
he's done seven in a row,
I'm
and
rounding
there's only
up.
Been three episodes.
I'm so rounding up. Who doesn't round up?
Yeah.
We got Brian Scott McFadden
that's
here today,
bad.
Comedian.
Yes. This is the baked show and people are bad at math show because we've only had seven episodes or three episodes and yet this is our seventh show. I don't even know how.
I'm knocking that out.
Somebody get a slide rule and do the math on that one.
I like that. I was on here and then you went and got a real comic.
What are you talking about? Can I just say that Hitler had a much more comfortable bunker than whatever it is we're broadcasting from?
Hey,
can I just say that?
We got sound blankets.
You can call it whatever you want.
Yeah. We almost didn't have these, but I was moving this weekend, right. And I rented a U-Haul. Sound blankets.
Yeah.
I like that. We almost didn't have these. And now we are lucky enough.
If you go way back to episode two,
mm-hmm. none of these.
Which was Mike an hour
Burton,
ago?
Yeah. Mike okay. Burton was an echo.
Yeah.
He was an echo.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, because I moved,
right.
Sound blankets.
These blankets are historical. Good. Columbus brought these over and they gave smallpox to the Indians.
$25 a day, right?
Yeah.
There.
They had U-Hauls back then.
Yeah.
They were sweet.
You want to move to the new world?
Yeah, right.
Use U-Haul. We have the best sound blankets.
Yeah, they were ahead of their time. Right.
And a low back, so you can move in real quick. The back is low. They sell you the rear end, the loading. Yeah.
So you don't need
a ramp.
You're
referring to the Indians. I didn't know what he was saying.
The Indians have low backs.
Have low backs. Yeah.
Indians like it from behind.
There's a lot of scoliosis in the Iroquois community.
You missed that in fifth grade history.
Oh, I didn't miss it. I paid attention every day. The diseases the Upper East Eastern Seaboard Indians was a big topic of discussion.
Corn.
Yeah. They
and
had
low
Epstein-Barr. A lot of the Apaches had Epstein-Barr. A lot of people don't know that. They had spina bifida was very popular with the Comanche. Okay,
spina
so
what?
I've never said the words Comanche and spina bifida. It's a neuromuscular disease. Look it up. I can't explain all the references.
I would Google it, but our studio is still under construction. We don't have Wi-Fi yet.
We don't have internet. We have workout blankets.
Not even workout blankets. What are they?
they're sound blankets.
Sound blankets. They're sound blankets.
Wink.
Workout.
Thank you,
we're
U-Haul.
We're going to workout blanket.
Bed bugs in them.
Yeah. Our sound brought to you by U-Haul.
We finally were. Boy, could we make a more blatant pitch for sponsorship of the show? Brought to you by U-Haul. Okay.
Well, you know, I mean, we do. We also do Jameson.
Of course.
True.
You know, you certainly do, Tommy.
Anything?
I'm
you
not going to go Jameson.
No, you don't drink,
I want
right?
you to no. do. I have almost a full beer in front of me. I'm good.
I swear to God, this is more of an AA meeting than a podcast, right? It's very sad.
No meeting. We're clearly A.
The beer is in front of you, but are you drinking it?
Yeah.
All right. Just check.
I've been drinking it the whole time. I'm good at it.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, here. Cheers.
Wow. This is.
All right.
I'm the only sober person on this show. This is very. This is tragic.
Man.
How did I get hoodwinked into this?
Did you ever drink at all?
Yes. I come from a long line of Irish alcoholics.
Oh,
that's
okay.
What,
well, so then you know Jameson.
Personally, yes, absolutely. I've seen my grandfather go after my grandmother with a broken bottle of Jameson. Thank you. So, that's the first time I've ever seen it not broken over someone's head. I've seen a lot of Jameson, but most of it is usually splattered against a wall. Right.
Well, we still have more time, so
yeah.
But did you ever drink it?
Oh yeah. I do drink. I'm just really bad at drinking. People always say, "Oh, you'll be really funny if we get you loaded." And usually, I'm just comatose. If you give me three beers, I'm like, "I'm just not fun at all." So people go, "Oh, it's." Some people are very gregarious drinkers, as you can see from the show.
Did you like
gregarious?
I'm not saying you. I'm saying him.
Did you like? Right? Did you like the way it tasted, though?
What's that?
Honestly, did you like the way it tasted, or
yeah,
did
the,
you like
the broken
the way
glass
it felt
taste? Sure. Right? The broken glass.
Shards of glass going down.
It's like chips, but different.
Exactly. You know
Jameson. If it's not shards of glass going down, it's not Jameson.
It's like a pretzel, but
goes down well with a fist in the mouth.
That's a great commercial for Jameson. Hey, have you ever drank Jameson? No, but I used to see my father running around with a broken bottle chasing my mom, and that sounds delicious.
Right.
obviously.
Break me off a piece of that.
Like, right. I always say, I hate, I never usually drink this, man. I drink Patron or beer, or I'm a pothead. I'm more of a pothead than I am a drinker.
You could have fooled me.
I go beer. I'm all
Bud Light,
beer.
I can do.
I'm very rare. I'll have the afternoon drink.
Yeah, but you said the other day you have a Jack on the Rocks before you go to bed.
Don't be changing your story now. No, that's true.
We're really finding out true alcoholism stories. Like, I have one before bed, and then I put on my cereal in the morning, right? Captain Crunch and Jameson.
Yeah.
It's like, I think someone has the problem.
Well,
Crunch berries?
Yeah, Crunch berries.
But you have to soften the Crunch berries. You have to soften them, otherwise they ruin the top of your mouth.
That's
so,
true.
And
professional, everybody. A professional.
Lucky Charms and Stoli. Deadly, right? Awesome.
Stoli raspberry?
Yeah, absolutely. Frankenberry.
You know what? That's how they came up with the pinnacle whipped cream and birthday cake flavors, where they started out with cereal first, and they went, you know what? Vodka and birthday
cereal.
Cake.
There you go.
Awesome.
Right. Because they have Life cereal, and Life cereal should have some of the darker aspects of life in it. So why not pour some liquor into it?
A little Coke.
Yeah, yeah. Because yeah, a little Coke sprinkled on it. You know what I mean? So that way you have that's real life.
That would be true life cereal.
We gotta get up.
There you go. True life cereal.
True
you know
life.
What I mean?
Hey, yeah. Mikey, he's addicted.
It smells like a homeless guy.
He's gotta get up for school. Yeah. What else is Mikey gonna do?
He's gonna get addicted to
some. He's only seven. I'm not gonna let him drink coffee, but. Life with a little cocaine.
Little Coke
on it.
Sprinkled on
All
it.
Right, little Coke. Little
good
Coke.
Good to get the kids
smothered in Jameson.
Yeah, little Jameson.
Or a raspberry Absolute or whatever your preference is.
That's what I'm saying. Birthday cake. This is bullshit.
I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, even when I was a kid, I'm 41. Holy shit.
Right.
I wasn't allowed to even have coffee.
Wow.
Like, your parents would be like, what are you, crazy?
What was the oldest you were? Like, when did
first,
you start
I don't drink
coffee.
I hate coffee. But, like, I remember being 10 years old. Hey,
man,
let me get a sip of your
you
coffee.
What are you worried about?
Well, because now these kids are addicted to fucking Starbucks. They're going and getting lattes and all this shit. And they're spending $7, $8 on a latte every day.
My son,
day,
who's
like,
in fifth grade, does have, like, friends. Like you, I drink coffee.
I'm
like,
we're meeting at Starbucks to
I didn't
do
drink
our homework.
In fifth grade. I drank coffee maybe high school.
I drank chocolate milk. And that was like, wow.
What happened to those innocent days, Tom?
They're gone.
I know, really. Look at you. Look at you. You're a three-fisted. I've never seen it. It's like I swear to God, the liquor store, there's a bongs hits going on. The man was once an innocent, happy child. And look at him. A shattered. It's a Behind the Music episode. This
what
is very tragic,
yet,
right?
I got it.
That's my favorite thing I've been saying.
I'm trying to break into show business, and sober doesn't seem to be working out.
Break
so
is the key word.
You
there,
never
right?
hear somebody in show business who made it big go, man, you know, I never touched a drink.
No.
I never smoked. I never did any coke. No.
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 You know what they are? They're fathers and
Shut up.
Construction
I'm right here.
Workers.
I'm right here.
Yeah, but you're right here.
You're a comic. You never did any.
I can hear you.
Come on. You never did anything?
Yeah, I did.
All right. Well, there you go.
That's why my son's
I
not
hope
here
your
right
son
now.
Is listening to this because, Daddy, tell me more about those heroin hazes you used to be in.
Remember when you were a freshman in high school? Yeah, just trying to
you
get along, all right?
Daddy.
You remember when you used to change me and you'd tie off and do a little...
yeah, there you go.
Tie off.
Tie your...
Really?
I love these drug references. Wait a minute. He
I don't know. I don't do. I don't do heroin. How do they fucking cut off...
Not
I don't
today.
Know. What
I don't.
What do they tie into your arm to...
Yeah,
get
they tie it off.
You're asking the wrong guy.
Come on, you were that guy.
No.
Come on.
I was not
Come
that
on,
guy.
Nirvana.
I was the guy. Here's the guy I was.
A heroin guy.
No. I was a drinker. So what I did
Crystal
was...
Crystal
He smoked his heroin.
I tried to... my son was a baby, when I would...
You would hide
I
the
could,
crystal meth under his Tickle Me Elmo.
You would think you could, but I didn't have a Tickle Me Elmo because they suck. But I would... what you do is you try to stopwatch. You time yourself on changing a diaper so you can get back to the beer. Like, you can get right back there.
I've never heard this before.
Yeah,
this is some kind of diapering
tips.
Alcoholic rodeo. That's what that sounds like.
You had me doing crystal meth a second ago, and I irked you by making it a time thing where I can get this done. It's like a rodeo.
Good point.
Like, I can get this done
right.
and be back to the game, bang, and back to the beer like this. And I was done every time.
Kid changed, clean, powdered, ready to go. You're drinking beer.
Yeah.
I'm doing visual rodeo things on the radio.
And back from timeout.
They're good. They're good.
Right. That's right.
They're good, though.
Yeah.
Never missed a play.
Like riding the bull.
We can do this right now. And what's weird is I teach my son that now with his homework. I'm like, all right, can we do this between commercials?
Right.
He's like, I don't know.
I need a shot.
How old is your kid?
You don't know?
How old is your kid?
He's 10.
Okay, is he on any medication or anything?
No.
Thank God.
Are you sure?
Good. Don't put him
on that. Not yet. But there's always time.
There's always time, yeah.
But when he, with his homework, I can tell him, all right, let's get this done between commercials, and then we're right back to the game.
Bong hits.
So he can work on it. He can do his math. All right, we're going to do this line. Four.
Awesome.
Four problems.
Yeah.
And then we're right back, and I love that.
Awesome. Well, there you go. I don't know what's going on. There's some kind of...
There's a communication going on.
Jesse's back.
I just got back from the bathroom, guys.
Like the co-host of the show, and the guy takes like an hour-long shit.
But what I want to know is...
During the show. We're talking about...
Go to the urinal, and there's pubic hair on the urinal. Are people pulling their pubic hair out and just leaving it there? Like, how does that happen?
You don't do that?
They're wishing on them.
Yeah, really.
You're supposed to take them out and
pull
flick
a pubic hair. You blow it.
You take them
and
you
make
flick
a wish.
Them.
I just don't get it.
It's a holiday thing.
You don't flick.
It's a tradition.
You
know,
we were so deep in
conversation,
all of a sudden Jesse comes back
to the bathroom, and suddenly we're having a pubic hair flinging discussion.
We're worried about
why. This is eyebrow humor here.
Random pubic hairs escaping evil people is what it is. They're like, awesome. I can't deal with this guy anymore. He's not getting any pussy. Right. I'm out.
Jumps off. You're worried about the pubic hair in the bathroom, but the blankets are fine. And who knows what's been going on these.
I love the blankets.
Yeah, I understand that.
last week, we had Mike Burton. It sounded like he was in a cannon.
You had him. He's still here again.
He's back.
How high are you?
He's back.
I can't believe you're having me back.
Last week, we had this guy, Mike Burton. He's right here.
He's unbelievable. It's great. He was bouncing off the walls like he was in a canyon.
I like how you're talking about me in third person. It's like we're Bobby Collins, but fucked up.
Yeah, that's right. How long is the show?
Is this
like a four-hour miniseries? Are we fixing this in post?
What we recommend is as soon as a guest gets sick of being on the show, they just leave. Exactly.
Yeah, because I may have to hit the bathroom to investigate the pubic hair issue. Right?
Well,
I can't wait.
I'm just saying, Jesse is already...
What color?
He's piqued all our interest.
It might have been yours. It might have been yours.
I think it was Brian's.
I cannot confirm it could or have, deny. Right?
It could have been any of ours, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Mine is bright blonde.
Bright blonde. I just bleached them yesterday.
Yeah. I bleached it and I went extra blonde.
I had a Brazilian on Thursday. I saved some of it, so I threw it at the wall.
Just to sprinkle it on there, right?
Yeah,
here's
exactly.
A shot.
A little sippy sip, everybody.
Is this a new trend? People just getting liquored up and high on the air? Right, there's so many shows. He's doing beer, shots, and whiskey.
I'll tell you, man, it's fucking brutal when you have a show called Wasted Time.
This is awesome. How many downloads will this have? I just want to
know. Million.
Millions.
Really?
Millions, yeah.
Millions.
You're gonna plug us, right?
By millions,
Brian's not gonna plug
almost
us.
Almost six.
I'm suppressing this episode. I'm gonna make sure no one listens to this.
Yeah, don't get mad when I post it on your Facebook
page.
What the hell is this crap?
Listen, I had nothing to do with this.
Wasted Time, starring Brian McFadden with Tom E. and Jess E. and Mike.
This is the podcast version of Zero Dark 30. This is like telling this guy you. It's like waterboarding.
Hey,
like,
you're,
like,
you're, welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I'm having a blast.
Facebook, you're going to be highlighting. People are going to see it. Like, oh my God, my friend Brian McFadden's on this.
People are going to be cutting and pasting this link like there's no tomorrow.
They play this for Gitmo prisoners, right? To get them to talk, right?
Yeah, exactly.
If you don't tell us where that terrorist nesting place is, okay, we're going to play another one of these, the Tommy Jesse podcast.
Okay, right? I did it.
I give up. Yeah. Please don't play the podcast, especially the one where Tom talks about his children and they make him drink Jameson again.
We're going to use it on Homeland. We're going to be on Homeland.
That's basically
wait to be on Homeland.
How topical are we?
That's going to be my new credit. I was on Homeland.
Were you on Homeland?
Mike Burton talk about children.
Brian McFadden, though, is like the sound of everything. Like, this guy does. Like, you turn on the radio, I swear to God. You were a Big Mac?
I was not.
Where were you?
I was a Big Mac, yes.
You were a Big Mac? I saw you throw golf clubs.
Yes,
oh, that is the best. The FedEx commercial?
I didn't see that one.
I'm on a FedEx commercial, yes.
I was watching I was like, I clearly have golf clubs in my car. Yes. How do I not get that audition? Yeah,
exactly. Well, when you get on, when you come on our podcast and say you're not shit, that's why you don't get anything.
That might not help. You're right.
You know,
and Jesse discussing pubic hair, he's out.
Yeah, no,
I got pubic hair, golf clubs. I got no audition.
Brian Scott McFadden. FedEx. That was actually
the voice
a
of an
hilarious
egg McMuffin from McDonald's.
Is that what the one in the refrigerator?
Yeah.
Was it? Was there one where you were in the refrigerator?
There's one where
was
you were.
Oh, is that the talking paper bag one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Chili's. Chili's.
There you go.
Yes. Yes.
Chili's. Mickey D's and Chili's.
I'm the voice of
Chili's.
The talking paper bag, thebaglunch.com. Go there. You can hear me.
It's unbelievable, though. It's hilarious. Like, I'll be sitting here and listening to the radio like, that's Brian Scott McFadden.
That's what I said.
That's
Brian Scott McFadden.
They play that shit.
Yeah, but they play it on like when I'm working at the strip. They play it.
Yeah,
that's
what
I Pandora. That's what I saw was Pandora. Yeah.
I mean, I'm like, I know that voice.
Yeah. I wish they paid me every time they played it on that one. That one they don't.
You don't get national. Like it's not like TV commercials.
No, that's internet. The other like that FedEx thing that was. Well, I didn't play that much, but there's other ones that like the McDonald's one. They played that.
That's national.
That's national, but. But the Chili's thing is like, it plays in Pandora on the internet, and it doesn't play, and it's online on YouTube. And so somebody send me a check, because you know what I mean? I'm going to have some.
I mean, would you just get paid once on that?
No, you get paid a buyout, and it plays, then they get certain weeks they can use it, and then they buy it again.
What about the Chili's one?
Well, we keep doing more of those, so it's pretty cool.
But that's a TV commercial.
No, it's not.
Is it a radio?
Unless they're using it without my knowledge.
What they can do, they consider it
TV. The McDonald's is TV, yeah.
So Chili's is internet. You get like a flat rate for that.
Radio, but we've done some radio for that as well. So the Chili's.
I'm telling you,
it's a big ad campaign.
They have like Z100 on here.
Yeah.
And
what's going on? You're looking at something.
Yeah, they'll
reading an eye chart while we're. I don't know what's happening. Right?
It's wasted time.
Welcome to Drunk Eye Chart. It's a new internet show, right?
47B.
Yeah, 47BJAM. That you're reading the bottle. You're reading the whiskey bottle.
Jameson.
The Jameson bottle. You're not.
Jamesom.
You're reading Mike Burton's clothing label. That's what you're.
That's great. Our co-host just keeps bailing.
Yeah.
You know because. That's,
he's got
know,
a job.
We're professional like that.
He's got a job. He's got things to do.
The co-host didn't tend to let me know that he was working tonight.
Yeah, he's
so.
Oh, he's working.
He's seating people, and the man's a multitasker. He's seating people and hosting a podcast.
I want to go back to you, though, with all your. I'm telling you, every time.
What do you need?
I'm telling you, every time I'm sitting here, I work at the Comic Strip, obviously, during the day, so we have the radio on, and I always hear. I swear to God, I'm like, oh my God, it's Brian.
I have a few accounts that I do regularly, right? Like, but they're few and far between. But there's a few, and then I just got the Chili's thing, and then the McDonald's thing. But it's I've been doing commercials for a long time, so I do those.
Yeah, but it just seems like you're on everything now.
Well,
like
I wish.
It sounds like it. I mean, if you're not getting paid for it,
it's an audio illusion. You know, like an optical illusion. You hear me. It's actually just me talking to you, but you're so drunk you don't know it's me actually trying to get your attention.
These guys are good.
Yeah, you're so liquored up that you're saying, Brian again? What is that on the radio? No, Tom, I'm talking to you. I'm right next to you. You're so blotto.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't know.
All I said was, how are you doing this evening?
Stalking you, Tom. Yeah, exactly. I've been stalking you for months.
Brian was doing this commercial. It was like about how are you doing this evening?
No, Tom,
I was trying to get
your attention, Tom. You were seating people. I was trying to get your attention.
You really do, though. Right. As high as you want to make me sound out to be, I swear, I hear you all the time.
I'm a voiceover actor. That's
it's
what I do.
It's unbelievable, though.
Yeah, okay. Well,
I mean, whether your bank account shows it or not.
No, I mean.
I hear you all the time.
Well, I used to be the Honey Nut Cheerio Bee.
Did you really?
Yes, I was the M&M Peanut for 2 years.
Which one?
I was the Yellow Peanut.
Shut up.
No, why would I make anything up that
give me
stupid?
One
like,
line.
That's going to get me laid.
Give me one good line. Yes! Right? I was the yellow M&M peanut.
I was the M&M peanut when I said, covered in a thin candy shell. That was my line. That was my whole. That was like a year-long commitment.
Did you do the
trick
or treat one when they're knocking at the door?
No. That was like they hired celebrities. They ditched me. They
really?
Got like John Goodman and John Lovitz, and now it's like a guy I know that somebody
they're
else.
They're really hiring celebrities?
They ditched us. Oh, yeah. That's a big thing now. They hire celebrities.
But you did it for 2 years?
I did it for 2 years, yeah.
That's hilarious.
It played all the time. And then we shot. And then we recorded 10 network national M&M commercials. 10, right? So it was all these things, and it was for the Olympics, and it was going to play all the time. And they were like, and so I was already picking out a condo in, Guam, or whatever. I don't even know what Guam
is. Gold faucets for the bathtub.
And then they... I get a call. My voice commercial agent calls me and goes, "Brian, they're pulling the whole ad campaign and they're letting you go." but me and the other guy that have been doing it for years, it's just that's what happened. There's another ad agency.
But did they just trash all the stuff you did?
Yeah, pretty much. Because they sold it. The ad agency, another ad agency came in, and whenever they do that, they change everything. So they just said, "Oh, we're done. So let's do another ad campaign with someone else." And they hired Goodman and Lovitz.
But did they really do anything different or just different people?
Oh, totally different. It's just they do that. It's just the nature of advertising. They just go, "We're letting you go because they can't." It's easy to get rid of me. You know what I mean? It's like, we want to work with somebody, who's bigger than McFadden. Right?
That's crazy because I could never.
Which is not that difficult.
I would never know that they did it.
Right.
I would never know. Would you know?
No. This is the thing about voiceovers. When you listen to like Lowe's or something like that, which is like you hear. You people go, "Oh, I wouldn't know who that is," but there's a certain familiarity with celebrities like Gene Hackman does United Airlines, and no one really knows it.
No.
But you hear a certain, and Donald Sutherland is Honda, right? I think, and he's like, "Yeah," but you don't know that. But when you hear it, you go, "That sounds sort of." You might not think you register that way, but there's an authority that someone like that you've seen him in so many movies, Animal House and stuff like that.
But are they paying them like you would know who it is?
They pay him mega bucks, right? But
it's also
a weird thing because they go, "Should we hire this guy? Are we Donald Sutherland or somebody like that? Gene Hackman is a movie star."
Yeah, but
you know
who's really gonna know?
A lot of people don't.
Yeah,
that's true.
But they rather give them major money.
The point I'm trying to make is a very subtle one about advertising, because when you hear United Airlines, "Your home in the skies," or whatever that Gene Hackman says, you don't know it's him necessarily, but you go, you kind of almost, there's a slight twinge of recognition when a celebrity does a voice that you can hear. Like, what's his name? MasterCard, Billy Crudup.
Dennis Leary, too.
Yes, exactly. Like, Dennis Leary. You sort of, they build up a certain cachet with public trust, and so hire them.
But
so
even still,
I can't tell if it really works.
Yeah.
Does anyone care? I mean, I don't know.
I'm not sitting there going, "Oh, John Goodman's the M&M."
Yeah.
But maybe you,
you know,
do,
like,
and
I'm
you
going,
know.
"Oh, shit, it's an M&M commercial." Fast forward.
I don't think that either. But psychologically, the question is, I'm not going to presume. Advertisers spend so much money on stuff that you think, okay, why are they doing that? Are they doing well? Are they making money? If it wasn't working, maybe they wouldn't be spending billions of dollars.
Yeah, but was your campaign not working?
Oh, naturally, everything I do turns to gold. Right.
Yeah, but
I'm not talking about me. I'm like the Midas touch of
honestly, though, like, I wouldn't know the difference if you. I mean, I know
Yeah,
well,
but I specialize
in
character voices. I specialize in slight character voices. So I'm not the spokesperson. Gene Hackman's not doing a weird voice. Gene Hackman's being Gene Hackman, so he's doing the sales pitch. So it's a question that we can't answer.
Am
here.
I buying M&Ms because Gene Hackman's
M&M?
I'm just saying, but it could be John Goodman. Yeah, I mean, even John Goodman.
That's
still
true.
Like,
is he?
I mean,
I don't know.
Or a lot of people, who really even knows who John Goodman
is
at
this
point?
Well, this is a debate that will rage for hours, especially if we drink more Jameson, right? But, it's a really good question. It's like it's a question of when you see, like one of the big ones, Billy West, who's one of the best voiceover guys, and incredibly talented.
Used to do Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah, absolutely. And every voice, and Futurama and everything. But Billy used to talk about how in Shrek, they did Shrek 2, and they paid Cameron Diaz $20 million to be in Shrek 2.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, you know Shrek. You got Mike Myers, okay, playing
Eddie
Shrek,
Murphy,
and you've got Eddie Murphy. You take Myers and Murphy out of that, you don't have a film.
No.
Okay? Okay, because of the improvisational skill set that they bring in, the comic gifts that they have.
You got
Cameron
Antonio
Diaz
Banderas.
is a talented actress, I guess, whatever. But if you took her out of that movie, is she worth $20 million to that film? And Billy West was like, you could get a regular actor, and they say, "Oh, these Hollywood blockbusters cost so much money, these celebrities," but they were paying her $20 million to voice that character in the movie. And all those movies now, they used to be voiceover actors that would do the animated films. Now they don't, no names. You didn't know who they were. Now it's Cameron Diaz and Russell Crowe as the aunt, and you know what I mean? Like it's like Sylvester Stallone is the roach. It's like because no one would go see it if Brad Pitt is the praying mantis in the film. So insects the movie, and so they have all these celebrities, but for the risk that Hollywood takes to put on a marquee, and they say Brad Pitt, Cameron Diaz, Sylvester Stallone, Cameron Crowe, you know, and then they say, come see the new Ant movie. But if you took just voiceover guys, Billy West, as nobody knows that, but would you go see the film? I think a lot of people would.
Yeah, if you don't plug it as like, oh, so-and-so as so-and-so, like if you make it, like if it's a movie, so you can make TV commercial previews where it looks good enough where you don't give a shit who the voice is.
Well, my father was a voiceover actor, so he used to do films. He was on the Thundercats.
Shut up.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, my father was Snarf on the Thundercats.
Really?
Yeah. No shit. Well, I would another thing I would never make up.
Dude, right? I was like the.
You didn't know that?
No, I love the Thundercats. Oh my God.
My dad was Snarf. Okay, really? So I grew up going to recording.
Oh my God.
Do you know Snarf? Do you know the show?
No, I don't know.
Okay, he doesn't even know the show.
You never
right?
watched Thundercats?
No. Okay.
Like in the 80s? Thundercats, go!
I know what you're talking about. Okay. I know I never watched.
Oh my God. Really?
Yeah. It's okay.
Oh my God.
The guy's a mature human being.
You're kicked out.
The guy was.
Really?
Mike is a mature man. Wow. He was not watching cartoons.
I'm blown away right now. I never knew that.
He was watching Bill Moyers when
he was
eight.
Dude, I have Thundercats action figures at my house as much as a dork as I am.
He was watching that.
I was watching Different Strokes.
Yeah, exactly.
I love Different Strokes, too.
How did you not watch Thundercats?
My father was Snarf on the Thundercats.
He's back.
Say that again?
My dad was Snarf on the Thundercats.
No shit.
Yeah, my father was the voice of Snarf.
That's ridiculous.
Go watch the thing. It's my dad. He was also Slythe and a bunch of other voices. But,
I'm like the hugest fan. That was my favorite.
Oh, still hysterical. Doesn't know who
that
Van
and
Halen.
Voltron was my favorite cartoon.
I had nothing to do with that. So I grew up going to voiceover auditions and voiceover jobs. So that's how I learned the industry. So I learned like voice, how to do characters and voices from my dad. And so I would go to those recording sessions for the Thundercats when they had all the whole cast there.
Really?
Yeah.
How
so
old
I sat
were you
in,
when that was
I
going?
I don't know. I was like, I was a kid. I was.
And he's
I was
just
in, my
the
30s,
booth doing
right?
Thundercat.
Yeah, I was 38.
Voiceovers.
Right,
I was 38.
I was a young child. That's but anyway, really cool. so
dude, I'm blown. I'm like, awesome. I feel like I'm like meeting like a celebrity for the first time.
Funny.
I'm like Thundercat. Like
right.
I swear to God, like that is one of my favorite cartoons ever.
That's okay. Love Thundercats.
First of all, shut the fuck up.
No, I can't. Mike. I can't, Mike. You know what, Mike?
Second of all,
you
let
know
him
what?
Talk.
You're kicked off. Dude, I'm blown away. Thundercats.
Oh,
who knew
God
they would have
damn
a?
It.
Hey, I'm. It's wasted time.
Welcome to Bar Fight, the podcast,
dude.
Right, you know,
like that's unbelievable. I'm, you know.
So
ridiculous.
that's the voiceover connection. That's how I got started in the business as a little kid doing voiceovers, and my father was like a cartoon king. Like he did that, and he did a lot of.
So who did Snarf? Your grandfather?
My,
or your
my,
father?
No, my father. My
your
father. My grandfather was a raging alcoholic, violent guy. Who my brother, my uncle went after with a knife. Cause,
wow.
Cause, yeah, it was awesome.
Jameson,
right?
Dad?
Yeah. No, my uncle Jack. Right, who was
my Uncle Jack Daniels.
Uncle Jack, who became an alcoholic as well, and my Aunt Mary, who also was an alcoholic. So there's like a long line of liquor stories in my family. A lot of violence, a lot of knives being taken, pulled on people, mental institutions.
Oh,
right?
We're going to have him back.
People strapped to gurneys. I've had a lot of it.
Completely different direction of cartoon voices.
Yeah, I mean, but you know what? It's a dark world behind cartoons.
So,
I mean, Thundercats. Dude, you don't even know. Like,
Thundercats
was
still
the being,
shit.
I'm
I
sorry.
Love
I'm being a douche. That was one of my favorite cartoons.
Yeah.
That
all right, I'll give it
Voltron
to you.
Voltron and He-Man. Yeah. I mean, come
Voltron.
On. In the 80s.
Voltron.
How old are you, Mike?
Old.
No, come on. How old?
43.
I'm 41, so we pretty much grew up around the same time.
See,
we weren't watching.
I still love Voltron.
I did not have the affection.
How about Battle of the Planets?
Nope.
Nothing?
No. Super Friends.
Super
Scooby-Doo, all that shit.
All that
no.
Mainstream shit.
Yeah.
You
gotta go
yeah.
Thundercats, Voltron,
no, fuck
the cutting
Thundercats.
Planet. What?
I don't even know Thundercats.
How do you not
know what?
Thundercats?
You know what?
That's
you're lucky.
That's
you
un-American.
Lucky. You are lucky we don't have Wi-Fi.
Some people look.
Thundercats?
Yes. I swear to God, I'm gonna try
Mike
and get
was,
Wi-Fi
Mike
right now.
He was watching PBS back then. He was.
Thundercats.
Actually, hey, guys, real quick, we'll sippy sip. Time for a little sippy sip.
There we go. I don't have anything. All right.
Do you want something?
I'm not gonna drink that straight. Thank you. I appreciate that.
No straight JMO for Brian.
Something else.
No,
they gave me an empty bottle here. They must have known I was a liquor. I was a son of many alcoholics.
Thundercats.
Yeah.
I just don't. I
come
don't.
On, man.
Okay, so all right, here's
I'm
one.
So hurt.
You know,
I mean,
you know, The Year Without a Santa Claus with Heat Miser and Snow Miser.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
My father's Jingle the Elf on that. you know, like jingle, there's Jingle and Jangle the Elves, and my father, oh, hello, Mrs. Claus, yes, Mrs. Claus, okay, Mrs. Claus, yes, Mrs. Claus, that's me, that's my father. Also, he's Frankenberry cereal.
Shut up.
I got strawberry flavor sweets, that was
my dad.
Shut up,
Frankenberry.
Yeah, yeah. Father, give you that, all right, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Guy does Frankenberry, Mike sold that.
I got strawberry flavored sweeties.
I'll tell you this, had you done Heat Miser, then I'd be fucking
I know, everyone says that.
I probably would have cried.
Yeah.
I would have cried.
I'm Mr. Heat. Did something break out? Did we run out?
What?
47 seconds?
Frank, he was Frankenberry?
Frankenberry, yeah.
Dude.
I've got strawberry flavor.
So Mike
sweeties.
Burton is a fan of Frankenberry, but he doesn't care for Thundercats. I'm highly disappointed. Wow. Thundercats? Really?
Come on.
No.
What was your favorite cartoon when you were 10 or 13?
I have to either go Underdog or Hong Kong Phooey.
What the fuck year were you born? I thought you said you were 43.
1969.
Underdog, really?
Are you Googling this?
What? I don't know what's going on here.
He's texting. I don't know what's happening here. There's a lot. Boy, nothing like.
I'm telling how much time we got left. Radio. Sorry about that, guys. Sorry about that.
Underdog and Hong Kong Phooey I loved.
Underdog. Oh, Underdog was Wally. Oh, I know. Underdog was Wally. Wally Cox. Mm-hmm. It was an old actor. I know all the voices of all the characters on every cartoon simply because my dad used to point out. Okay, you see that guy? That guy's doing this, and that guy's doing this, and that guy's doing that.
Did he do?
I do that for.
Did he do any other cartoons like besides Thundercats and?
Did my father?
Yeah.
Well, there
any
was a
Smurfs?
Show called. No. My father. No.
Was
no,
he Papa Smurf?
No, he was not
Papa Smurf. Okay, right. Super Friends.
He was not.
Yeah, but we don't have anybody in the room who worked on Super Friends, so Super Friends
sucks. I didn't watch fucking Thundercats.
Thundercats.
Okay. Kiss my ass.
You really didn't like Thundercats?
No.
Did you ever watch it?
No.
Okay.
No, man.
Watch it. Go home and YouTube that shit.
YouTube Thundercats, ho!
Listen, I cannot take this kind of vitriol anymore. You guys need to love each other?
All right, I'm sorry, everybody. Brian Scott McFadden was the lunch bag in the Chili's commercial.
Yes, I was.
All right, let's get back to reality. All right, everybody.
Go back to our own careers.
We can get over Mike not being a fan of Thundercats. Yes. We can understand.
Yeah, go to bag the bag.
He's
lunch.
For some reason, either he's being paid or something by the Super
Chili's
Friends people,
everybody.
But yeah. Apparently
somebody
Super
got
Friends.
To somebody got to Mike.
I didn't play a pepperoni.
Yeah.
But I do know the guy who's a bag of chili.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
I didn't play the pepperoni, but I was more than qualified to play the role.
Dude, your
father was Snarf.
Yes. Snarf.
I'm sorry.
The son of Snarf.
I'm the son of Snarf.
I'm the son of Snarf.
How do you not go up to that
because
every night on stage?
Welcome to the stage,
the son of Snarf.
If you do that, then they expect you to go up, hey, how are you? Snarf. I don't want to. That's not me.
What
was your dad
city?
Do for a living? Do you go up and...
My dad was a butcher.
Okay,
I go on stage.
A big slab of meat. Let's see you.
Hey, anybody
you carve your own life. You want to have your own life. You know what I mean?
Anybody need a good slab of ribs?
Yeah, 2 pounds of honey glazed turkey. Yeah, come right up. Right?
When you know
honey
I mean?
Glazed turkey.
Nonsense.
Come on. My dad's a butcher. He's
what?
Not,
you
he's
know
not
what I mean.
Doing turkeys.
I got nothing.
He's
what
chopping
do I,
cows.
Now you're going to nail me on factual errors in my definition of what butchers do? What the fuck do I know?
Hey, right? You know what? According to me.
I thought I was close enough with the honey glazed turkey.
According to me, you are royalty.
Yes, I agree.
This guy is royalty.
Even though
I'll
Mike Burton doesn't think so.
No, I gotcha.
Can I meet your father? Can I meet your father?
No, my father's no longer with us, but I appreciate it.
I'm sorry. Did he do anything beyond?
He did a lot of things. He was one of the top voiceover actors, but he had a lot of cartoon shows that no one remembers that you guys would never remember in a million
years.
Come
on,
let's try it out. Try it out.
Trust me, they were in the years.
Let's try it. Let's try it.
Bobo in his car.
No. There was a show called Fearless Fly.
All right,
you know, you remember Fearless Fly? Okay, Fearless Fly lived
Mark
in a matchbox.
Anthony.
Okay, then there was
Mark Anthony Ramirez. You remember
Fearless Fly?
I remember Fearless Fly.
Without my glasses, I'm helpless.
Great.
Which is
that
my character. That was my dad.
That was a full cartoon.
Yeah, that was not a whole nother cartoon. That was in like the 60s. Or something.
He was the main character.
Yes, he was the lead character. Linus the Lionhearted, which was another cartoon. Okay, he remembers that.
Oh,
okay,
thank
we have
God
some
you're
older
here.
People here.
I remember that too. Yeah, actually, I remember that too.
I'm still stuck on Thundercats.
Milk the Monster. Milton the Monster. Yes, yeah. Milton the Monster. Which some of these are on YouTube, so you can look these up. But he was the he was also the Pampers stork. New Pampers keep your baby dry. That was my dad.
Oh
okay,
my God.
So he was like,
that's awesome.
Come on.
Yeah, that was him. That was
so
him.
Did you see him? Like, did he bring you to work with him
yes,
a lot?
Yes.
He did.
Yes.
So did you actually like, oh man, I want to do this one day? Or was your father ever involved in comedy? At all?
Yeah, he was a stand-up for 10
he
years.
He was
for
a
stand-up. 12 years. Yeah, my dad used to work in the Catskills. He worked in Cuba before Castro took over at the National Hotel.
Did he do he well as a stand-up comic?
He used to do sound effects. He did, like, old-style stuff. Like, he'd do, like, Walter Brennan, Underwater. My father had these weird bits that he would do. He did impressions of, like, I remember one joke my father had in his act that he told me about, which is very obscure, but... You know Paul Lind. Everybody remember
yeah,
Paul Lind.
Absolutely.
Okay. You know who Alice Gosley is?
No.
Okay. Alice Gosley was Mrs. Kravitz on Bewitched.
Okay.
And,
all right.
And
I know
and
that.
She was the next door neighbor.
Yeah.
And they both sounded Bitch. Exactly the same. So my father would do an impression of this is Paul Lind and Alice Gosley meeting on the street. Okay. This is Alice Gosley and Paul Lind. This is old like school comedy where they would do this on this like Sullivan Show or something. So this is Alice Gosley and Paul Lind meeting on the street. How are you, Alice? Not bad, Paul. And you? Not bad. How's everything? Because they had the same voice.
It's
see
the
what
same
you got? Exactly. It was basically this. They had the exact same voice. There was the same.
I like
character.
Your scarf. I like yours yeah. too.
So your dad was like the Michael Winslow of
yes,
his time.
Yes, he was. That's he actually great. Was. Yes. There was like Mel Blanc, Dawes Butler, who did.
Mel
Blanc. Some Murgatroyd. Got to get a little.
Right.
Yeah. Got to get out of here. Even.
His father.
You know.
Are you a Thundercats fan?
Oh hell yeah! I know.
Yeah,
his
my
father
dad,
was
my dad
Snarf.
Was Snarf on the Thundercats.
I mean, that's
right.
Amazing.
I'm like, you know, I'm blown.
I'm
away.
Gonna let you yeah. talk about Thundercats. I got nothing.
Mike Burton, you out of here?
Yeah. I'm
Mike Burton's got to leave.
Yeah, and I got to leave too.
Hey, Mike.
Mike Burton, thank you very much for coming out, buddy.
Mike Burton, thank you very much.
Wander in and get on the show. I love
yeah,
this.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Hey.
I love this. I thank you very yeah. much for having me.
Well, you know we're going to have you back again.
I'm going to go Thundercat out of here.
Ho!
Ho!
Snarf your way out of here?
Yeah.
All right, Mike, thanks a lot, man. Always
there's
a pleasure.
People are streaming in good off the streets. We got to get them in here. We're morning. All right, don't leave dead air on the air.
No. Don't dead air. We got Mark Anthony Ramirez here right now, everybody.
USMC, yeah, that's right.
Are you?
Dude, no.
It says so right here.
I worked for the United States military years ago.
I'm just saying.
It says it on his hat. Apparently, it's got to be true.
I believe everything I read on hats. Right?
That's
right.
Just the fact that your dad was Snarf.
Where's my who farted hat?
Yeah, exactly. There you go. That I believe. Anyway.
My hat's bringing it down
and
now.
And that means he played for the Eagles.
Yeah, so goddamn right I did.
Or bass for the Eagles. I think you look like you more played bass for the Eagles than actually football.
I can't even believe he's still wearing the hat.
I can't believe it. Anyway.
I mean, he looked civil today, though. Did you see him?
No, they didn't play today.
They didn't play.
They played Thursday.
They got their ass kicked on Thursday, right? Just
the
like
Bengals.
The Giants.
Yeah, yeah,
oh
Giants.
My God, the Giants
not,
got their
not
ass
as bad as the Giants, though. Not
why
as bad.
Why are you bringing that up? Ugh.
Because I'm depressed. 34-0, Atlanta. I don't even know what
you're saying.
You know what?
Shut up.
Let's stop talking about sports. We'll go right back into what your father was.
No,
Snarf?
No, we're talking about the USMC.
My USMC hat.
Yeah, we're gonna get to the bottom of this. You could be impersonating an officer.
No,
actually, you were in the Marines.
No, I was. I taught martial arts, hand-to-hand combat. To
really?
All four branches.
What kind?
Back in the day.
All four branches of the military?
What kind of martial arts?
I didn't even know
I
we had four branches.
You know what it was? I grew up in the projects. I grew up in all-white projects on the Upper East Side of Manhattan,
yeah.
Getting my ass kicked by Irish kids, and my dad was like,
"Goddamn right, Irish kids."
My dad was like, "Do you want to take karate or something?" I was like, "I think I need it," and I started taking karate, and then I went from there to kung fu, wusu, and then goju and tai sabaki.
Wow. That's awesome.
So and then
the weapon,
I wish
everybody.
My parents had done. They made me take karaoke. That's the other. That's the worst martial art. That's the worst martial art that you can take. That and feng shui.
I'm a black belt. I'm a black belt in karaoke. Yeah.
If a mugger attacks me, I can move his couch.
Back
to get a
off.
Blow.
The only time it's ever come in handy.
I can feng shui the shit out of your room.
I can sing my way.
The only
so
time it ever
really
came
bad.
In handy in comedy is I was doing a gig out in Jersey, and my ex-fiance's new boyfriend rolled up drunk at a comedy show, jumped the stage, and I just dropped him with one shot.
Wait a minute. So you were on stage performing?
I was on stage performing, and I was actually doing a joke about my ex-fiance being really insane. And he was like, and he just jumped the stage, and he was like with his arms open like he was going to come up like a superhero.
Wow.
And he just got dropped, and the bouncers were just like, into the alley with you.
Wow.
Like he was just done.
This is this could be a new show. Stand-up comic, UFC, some kind of combination.
I like it.
Stand-up fighting challenge.
If you can take the guy on stage, you get stage time.
Yeah, you know what the sad part is?
Hey, Brian Scott McFadden's on stage. I could beat the paper bag chili's guy.
You know what?
Wait till you hear me sing My Way. I'll drop you. You'll just pass out.
You know, if you sing My Way, I think in the Philippines, you can get shot. It's like, it's actually, dude, there's a great article in Time Magazine.
That's what happened to Marcos.
Yeah, I know. But the thing is, there was an article in Time Magazine about that. If you sing My Way, they find it like really offensive, and like several people have gotten shot singing that song.
You know what? Fuck them. Let's do a shot.
All right, everybody, sippy sip time.
It's wasting time, everybody.
Weirdest things I've ever heard. Yeah, that's if you sing My Way in the Philippines, you actually could get assassinated. This is very scary, right? Oh wait! Now someone else is leaving. How come I don't get to go?
Brian, you're stuck, bud. You're stuck till the end.
No, I have to go soon.
Brian,
anyway.
You gotta go.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Brian Scott McFadden, everybody.
Awesome.
Thank you for
hanging out, man.
We really appreciate it.
USMC.
If you listen to the radio, you will hear Brian Scott McFadden. Exactly. Or come down to the comic strip. Are you doing anything?
Yeah, I'll be here this weekend somewhere. I didn't know there was going to be plugs, right?
Oh, there's plugs.
Wait, hold on. I might as well plug something.
You can go to his website.
You got to plug it. You got to plug it.
Keep talking. Bam.
Hey, Brian, what's your website?
BrianScottMcFadden.com. www.BrianScottMcFadden.com.
Check him out. I mean, even if you don't like him, his father was snarf.
I'm at the comic strip on Tuesday. Yeah, my father's at the comic strip, which is this club.
You going to be traveling anywhere?
Right. I will not be traveling anywhere. I've been...
He stays in New York.
I don't have a green card. So I can't I don't have any color cards, but I'll be this. I'm in the city a lot.
He's in the city.
New
York City. Look for Brian Scott McFadden, everybody. Yes. In New York City.
All right, thanks for coming by, Brian.
Yeah. Brian, you're the man. Thank you very much, buddy.
We'll be right back in a few seconds. Thanks, everybody.
I'm here. Oh, we're gonna have fun. Yeah, man, I'll be here. Venison food.
You're listening to Wasted Time with Tom E. and Jesse.
Oh. All right, you guys, we're back. Wasted Time. We're here with Mark Anthony Ramirez, Andrew Schultz.
How you doing?
Barry Weintraub.
Yeah, a Jew with a Jew name. What's with the Andrew Schultz? He should be a Jew. Does he look Jewish to you?
I'm not.
I'm sorry, but you're the epitome of Wigger right now.
Okay, I'll take it.
Wow.
I'll take it.
Holy
shit.
No, it's good. It's good. He looks good, but he does.
Thanks for doing our podcast. You look like a Wigger.
It's not the first time I've heard it.
It's
the first time I've heard it. I'm an old Jew. What the hell is that?
I like it when white guys look more gangster than I could ever look. I don't think I
look that gangster. I'm wearing a knit sweater.
It's the CC Sabathia hat to the side.
I've got a Yankee hat to the side a little bit.
It's kind of like the little dirt mustache.
Hey,
it's like
listen,
that.
I don't have enough.
It's sexy though. You must do well with the women, man.
Hey, I don't know.
Actually, Andrew Schultz, you just hosted MTV Video Music Awards
in Europe. Yeah, right? I heard of the EMAs, they're called. Yeah, the European Music Awards with Heidi Klum and a guy named Lil Duval, is a comic from down south. You know Duval?
Yeah.
So let me get this straight. Last week you hosted the European Music Awards with Heidi Klum, and tonight you let Barry Weintraub bring you up at the comic show.
Exactly. It is an honor.
Let's go, Barry.
You really have some interesting jujitsu in his career movement, viewers.
That's the whole magic of comedy,
but if you
everybody.
A little further. Now he's in the basement of the strip.
Right. I didn't want to ruin the magic. I didn't know if they thought we were on the top floor.
We're moving blankets as baffles, and they're doing a great job. These are moving blankets.
That's great because I DVR. Sorry, everybody. Saved by the Bell.
On
MTV2. So all I see are the commercials. The MTV EMA awards have been over for a month, but I still see the commercials constantly.
Oh, good.
With you guys, and I'm like, Andrew Schultz, all right. This guy's, I hope that's going to be good. You know, it's been over already.
If you watch El Sábado Gigante, I'm on those commercials.
The what?
Nothing.
See, exactly.
The big Saturday. El Sábado Gigante. Al Español.
How was it, though, Andrew?
And Mark, you speak Spanish?
Barely.
Really?
His last name is Ramirez. No Spanish?
I'm racially mixed, actually. That's why I actually get to do normal shows at the Strip and not just all the Latino shows. Because I'm, like, really mixed. I'm
what are you?
Puerto Rican, Jamaican, Filipino, Irish, Scottish, Spanish, Jew, Egyptian, and African.
Hey, you know what? Bring out your Puerto Rican. Let's do a shot.
Hell yeah.
All right. Shot to everybody. All right.
This is quite the show. They've been whipping the Jameson out by the bottle.
How was it, though? Did you actually get to talk to Heidi Klum?
Yeah,
did you hang out?
Yeah,
was she
cool?
Was she
yeah.
weird? Was Lil Duval cool?
Duval is great. Lil Duval and I do a show on MTV2 together. We did a Guy Code and we did Hip Hop Square, so I know him from MTV2.
My buddy produces that, PJ Morrison.
Yeah. Oh, PJ's the man.
Yeah, that's my boy.
Yeah.
Man. We go back
years.
I love
PJ. PJ's great. So we did that and... And so I know, and then so we just went out there, and he's just a character. He's great. You know, I learned a lot about just kind of like being funny in sketches and stuff like that, just like really throwing your persona out there. He's got this great character, great persona. So he's
absolutely.
Like when you have 30 seconds, that's all you can get across.
Oh, yeah. How much difference was there, is there, like between the EMAs and the VMAs?
I'll be honest with you, the EMAs are a bigger spectacle.
Right?
It's the biggest music spectacle in the world. Now, no one gives a fuck. Because it says Europe in front of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
oh, that's foreign.
Exactly.
We're not listening.
So, this is why what? Soccer is still struggling in America.
Exactly. Because they liked it. If they if they told us that Europeans didn't like soccer, we'd probably be like, you know what? I think we like soccer. That's my new favorite sport is soccer. But,
is there any chance of you ever doing the VMAs?
Yeah, I'd love to, man.
How did the process come to where they were like, hey, we want you to, like, that's huge, even though it's not the VMAs, it's still European Music Awards.
Was it broadcast here?
It was, so, like,
everywhere.
It was broadcast on MTV2.
And I just met the man for the first time tonight.
Really?
Yeah.
Barry Weintraub,
he's on TV. He's got 3 years. He's running on MTV, which is first. I stopped watching when the radio killed the video killed the radio star.
MTV2, right here.
I know he told me it's fantastic, and I'm thrilled to see people like getting gigs. Getting contracts, getting paid to do this shit, and then doing spots here at the Strip.
You know, Barry, when I was getting gigs and doing really well, you actually brought me up on the stage too.
And so that was the end of it?
And now I'm back in the basement.
I put the brakes on quite a number of careers.
As a matter of fact, I gotta go bring nachos back upstairs on table 14.
I bring them all up and then I let them down slowly.
That's why we do it, man. That's why we get the gigs, is so we could get up here, man. Like,
but absolutely. It's crazy though. Like, you go from something huge like that. Mm-hmm. You're doing the VMAs, Lil Duval, Heidi Klum, commercials out the ass, everywhere. You're all over MTV. Then you come to the comic strip, and you do a spot.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. Like, stand-up's my first love. So my whole idea about the industry in general was I wanted to get on TV so I could do stand-up. You know
so you've always been a stand. Have you been? Were you a stand-up in the beginning?
Yeah. So my whole idea was, hey, let me get on TV consistently, and that way I have some. I don't want to say leverage, but at least something to offer beside.
But
everybody,
and you also,
but it is. Yeah, absolutely.
You also have something you can always do if they screw you. You go, you know what? Fuck you. I'll go do my stand-up until something better comes along, which is a great tool.
No, you always have it.
It's an incredible tool and weapon to have.
The best thing in the world is, like, when my TV stuff ended, it was just like, all right, I guess I can go do the road. And to find out that, like, people across America were like, oh, I've seen you. This is great. And I was like, oh, my God, thank you, guys. You're putting my kids through college.
This was an honor being home with you guys. But I'm running in the middle of the show, so I'm going to go back in that.
Barry.
Cool, man.
A pleasure.
But it's
thank you, Barry. Thank you, Barry.
It's one of those things where I totally agree that it's like what you have a little bit of leverage because we all kill, right? Like, it's one of those things where, like, you got to crush. You're going
to
be a comic in New York City. You can't.
You have to.
You got to crush. So it's like, and after crushing, and you want to get up in a club, you basically asking for them to not give spots to somebody else. You know
absolutely.
What I mean? So you got to, more than, if they're crushing and you're crushing, why should they give you spots? You got to have, you got to be going up on stage and people go, oh, I know him from that. And I've been fortunate enough where when they're selling tickets for the club, they recognize my name and I can get up at the comic strip.
Did you start at stand-up and then people started to, like, he's good. Let's give this guy some work.
I did,
like,
stand up
how
downtown.
Did you get in?
My whole idea is I just wanted to bury myself in, like, the Lantern, Village Lantern, these kind of rooms.
I used to do the little rooms.
Yeah.
That's right.
And I just wanted to, even before Eastville, I just wanted to get funny, man. Like, I didn't want to be, I just wanted to get funny. And then when I felt myself starting to get funny, then I literally, every club I got past that, it was just kind of serendipitous. Like, even here, I did a show at I did one of the privately produced shows here, and I asked JR if he could watch me, and he was cool enough to watch me and cool enough to give me spots. And yeah. then same thing at Stand Up New York, and then at the Cellar, SD saw like a video of mine. Like Will Smith just showed her a video, and she called me the next day.
Who showed her a video?
Will Smith.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought you said Will Smith. I was like, wait, what?
They were doing MIB2. I saw you in MIB2. And Will was like, yo, son, you funny. Let's take a bit of you right now in my two-story trailer.
Will Smith thinks I'm jiggy with it.
No, but the thing is, you know, it's true because, like, when I got into stand-up by accident.
Why?
So, dude, I was a bartender and a bouncer in the Upper East Side, and a comic used to come in all the time. He used to be like, you know what, dude? At a place called American Spirits, where I know your photographer from. And this guy was like, dude, there are no fights in this bar when you work because you're funny. I was like, man, I ain't funny. People are afraid of me. And he was just like, no, they're not. And
yeah, but when you punch them in the face, you're hilarious.
It's like, those jokes are hilarious. No, but it was just like, and he brought me up at Stand Up New York. And then the old owner of Stand Up New York was like, yeah, actually, you're really funny. I'm booking you. And 15 That's years cool. later, this is all I do, to the chagrin of my ex-wife. But it's just like, but that's how it happens. Like, and when you build a good reputation of actually being funny and actually doing, because I'm now, like, looking at you, I'm like, oh, now I remember you. And it was just like, I've seen, but you used to hustle, dude. You used to always go to the Village Lantern, always doing the work. And it's like,
hilarious. Absolutely.
And it's great to see that because you got to do the work, man.
Oh, dude.
Did MTV come out and see you? Or did you submit something to them?
I got an email from, and, you know, bless her, Lauren Zins is a, you know, casting person over at MTV proper, you know, regular MTV. She just emailed me for this New Year's Eve bash, and then we had like a meeting, and you know, pitch meeting. And
are you
like
doing that? General.
And I did it. This was a couple years ago.
Oh, okay.
And then she recommended me for the MTV2 stuff, and MTV2 has just been super supportive, and it's just a really cool channel, man. Because it's like I'm from New York, I'm from Manhattan, like I grew up here, like so. It's like it's a close, you know, it speaks to like a young urban. Audience.
Yeah, and they're doing a lot of different things. And
yeah, really, man, they're just open. Going hard, man. They're just putting stuff out, so it's been cool to do it. But then, yeah, it's the work, dude.
Now that they're pushing Saved by the Bell,
dude, I love Saved by the Bell, man. I love Saved by the Bell.
I still think about Jesse's fucking around.
Dude, it's Saved by the Bell. The Saved by the Bell, Martin, Boy Meets World are the syndicated shows.
It's interesting about Saved by the Bell. What happened to Mario Lopez? I mean, come
Mario's an expert.
He's
right
the only one that's still working.
Oh, man, he's working, but you know, deep down inside, he's like, I can act. Really, I can.
No, you can. No, you can. Yeah. Lifetime isn't looking for any movie of the weeks. We're good.
Mario's killing it, man.
He's
Zach's on Franklin and Bash.
That's actually a good show.
Zach's man, though.
He does extra every week.
Like that. Everybody else, they're not doing shit. Screech is doing porn.
Yeah.
Dude, I actually did a gig with him.
Yeah,
his manager was here tonight.
Really?
Really?
Roger Paul, Screech's manager.
Shut up.
Yeah, dude.
Really?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah, dude, Roger Paul, Screech's manager.
Oh, my.
Roger, I'll still do that road gig. Now, what I'm saying is, wow. But no, Roger Paul is Screech's manager. And I got stories.
Hey, you know, he's not very funny, but man, his cock is huge.
Who, Screech?
Yeah.
You seen it?
No, but that he did that porno.
Yeah, he did.
You saw it.
I didn't see it. I swear. If we had Wi-Fi, I'd pull it up right now. But
we're too far underground for Wi-Fi.
I have not seen that shit. I mean, come on. Besides that, and then
that's my
Kelly
next goal,
Kapowski, she's not doing nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah, that's right.
Which,
Kelly,
and,
but you know what it is? After Showgirls, what's her name? The girl who...
That's what I was just thinking. Elizabeth Berkley.
Jessica Spano.
So hot.
Yeah.
Still hot. But you know what, though? She's like Hollywood royalty. It's like you bombed in a movie that was meant to bomb, but you know, we love you. Like, she's on every red carpet.
She still?
Oh, my
really?
God. Yeah, dude. She's... But
was she at the EMAs?
Hot.
I was never into her, man.
Really?
I liked Kelly. I liked Lisa, but I didn't really like Jessica.
Lisa.
Yeah,
I know you like Lisa Turner.
Lisa's a little
like
busted right
now.
Yeah. Last time saw Lisa was in
How
High.
She looks like Sammy Sosa. You know how Sammy Sosa right now is doing the whitening
when
thing?
When he had that weird...
Oh, my God. That's what she looks like. It's creepy.
Did she bleach her skin?
Yeah, she's kind of like she did some bleaching, and she's like, she's trying to pull the Michael Jackson thing, where it's like, no, it's a bit of like, run through my genetics and my family. And people are just like, no, Lisa, you're just, wow. You went from Saved by the Bell to a Boys to Men video, and then
done.
She did How High.
That's right, she did How High.
She looked good in there. She looked like Lisa Turtle.
Lisa, you know what? Mr. Schultz is no longer masturbating. That's what I'm saying.
I'm not. I'm no longer masturbating.
I'm baiting.
I'm an old man.
No master. Just baiting.
Nice.
Yeah. What do you got coming up? Anything?
We got season 3 of Guide Code. Finishing that up right now. We got another show coming out. This is going to be on MTV. A show called Philosophy.
What's that?
It's kind of like in a similar vein to like Tosh and these kind of shows that you have videos or pictures of people failing.
It's comedy driven.
Yeah, so there's a little panel.
Well, absolutely, it'd be great.
So that'd be cool. And then we got another show for MTV I can't talk about just yet. But
I just have to do this in honor of somebody who passed away just about a year ago.
Yeah.
But I will say this, before Daniel Tosh did his thing and before you guys did yours.
The great Patrice O'Neal. Huh?
Thank you, my brother.
Thank you.
That's Patrice O'Neal, he opened up that
the greatest to ever do it, man.
It's unbelievable how many comedians have passed. Like in the last couple of years, Greg Giraldo, Mike DiStefano.
Mike was the guy when I was coming up because I came up downtown at the Village Comedy Village, and Mike was the guy. You know, there's Mike and like Greer, and those are the guys that I would see crush, and Joey Gay too. But like, those are the guys who I would go, oh, this is what killing is.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, and that was great coming up because I feel like when you come up only in mics, you see what killing is in an open mic.
Right.
But when you see what they do, like when you see what Greer does, Mikey did.
Dude, Greer Barnes?
Greer Barnes.
Love Greer.
I hate to say Greer Barnes, one of the most underrated comics. I think, dude, I've known Greer 15 years, and I've watched him kill.
He's one of the best, man.
Oh, my God.
Love him.
He's one of the best, and he's so in the pocket with it. You know, he's not needy
at
all. He's
one of the coolest cats you'll ever meet.
Yeah, yeah. But and it was sad that, you know, Patrice went, man, because that was like,
You know the greatest thing about Patrice, though, off stage, and actually on stage, like if Patrice like respected you or liked you in any way, always defended you, always he defended comedy. Period.
Mm-hmm. He's honest.
I'll tell you guys a funny story. I once had an ex girlfriend show up at a comedy show, mm-hmm. and like showed up with this other dude. Like she broke my heart. Showed up with this other dude.
That's fucked.
And Patrice saw my face, and he was like, "I got you. Don't worry about it." Went up and just ripped her and this dude for 40 minutes. To the point where the dude left and the girl was like, "I can't believe you did this." Patrice was like, "Shut up." That dude had a ponytail. Like, just totally tore her and this dude apart. And then, a week later, she was like, "I really want to get back together with you." I called Patrice. I was like, "Yo, man. This girl wants to." He's like, "No, son." No.
Yo, he was the best, man. I remember the first time I saw him, I always thought he was funny because I watched the HBO special.
Absolutely.
And I saw him live. I saw him do 2 shows in a row at Comics. And it was just, like, different stuff. And it was so... He was talking funny. Like, that's the kind of comedy I really like where it's like we're not telling jokes.
You're not telling jokes. You're just funny. Talking about reality and what's really
just
happening.
Talking.
Oh, yeah,
exactly.
Man. Elephant in the room, man. Brilliant.
I was there for that. That was incredible. I was there for the live taping of that.
And I'll tell you, one of the greatest things about Patrice was he would just be so honest with you about you.
Yeah,
like, the last time I saw him, like I said, man, your recipes guy was great, and I can't say I was close buddy with him, but it was like, he always called me out of my stuff. He was like, "Dude, where you been at? Why haven't you been performing?" I was like, "Oh, I got involved, I got this." He was like, "Look, the only time I ever see you doing stand-up is when you broke up with someone, you're looking to get laid again." And I was just like, "Thanks, Patrice, for calling me out of my shit."
Sometimes we need it. We need the reality check.
Yeah, man, he was good, but ever since then...
That's the dude, man, where, like, whenever I go on stage and I think I did well, I go, how well did he do? How long?
Did he ever see you perform, Andrew?
Huh?
Did he ever see you perform?
No, man. We actually did a sketch together, but we weren't even in the same scene. Like, we had a scene together. He was somebody I always wish that I had the balls to just go up and be like, "Hey, man, can you just mentor me?" Like, I've never really felt that way about a comedian like I did about him. And I just wanted him to be like, "Hey, man, just let me just pick your brain about this shit."
Oh, absolutely.
Because he does it the way that I see. He just does it to me. He does the hardest style and gets the biggest laughs.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because you know what it was? Everything he talked about was taboo. Like, he went very deeply and very personal. And people were just like, "Wow, I can't believe he's killing with this."
Brutally
but the
honest.
Laughs were huge. Like, people underestimate like how long his laugh sections were. Like, when I look at a joke, I go, "Okay, how long can I sustain this laughter for?" You know, I came up in tough rooms, like rooms where people did not want to give it up.
I'll tell you this right now, and one of the greatest things like that I remember back in the day was working the old Boston Comedy Club. That room was famous for getting heckled, and it was like, I had one night I had a rough set there, and Patrice was like, "Yo, you deserve having that rough set."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Oh, shit." And then the next time I actually did well there, and Patrice was like, "See, you earned that.
See,
and
yeah,
this is what you did
it.
Right."
Yeah.
And it was like, and you look at guys like Patrice, Voss, Geraldo; those guys earned all that stuff.
Hell yeah!
The game is a lot different than like when I started, but it was different when they started.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They
and
had
it's great. And I said, man, I got everybody, Mr. Schultz here. I gotta give you mad respect because I remember when you started, and look what you're doing, man.
Oh,
that's
man,
great,
thank
man.
You, dude. Hard work.
Like I feel doing. Like the biggest loser ever. Like hard I'm work. A stand-up comedian, but you know what? You'd never know that because you know why? I don't go anywhere.
Well, you got to get out.
I go
man.
Here. I know.
Gotta get out of the basement.
I work here full time
yeah.
at the comic strip as a job.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm a comic. By the time you leave here at the end of the day,
yeah.
you don't want to go hang out at another comic
oh,
club.
I hear you, man.
But I love being on stage.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I love it. And I'm not saying I'm the shit, but I do well.
Yeah.
But I just want to get the fuck as far away from comedy as possible. I want to go home and just get away. Like, I don't want to be that guy. That's like to be a comic in New York City, you got to be like a fucking gnat. You got to be like,
you got to go after
like
it,
in
man.
This
you
guy's
you
fucking.
You got to not let any. I mean, my whole theory was about comedy was this: there's nobody's gonna work harder than me. If I knew someone was working harder than me, it would. I couldn't sleep at night.
Yeah, how long
you
been going?
You got to take it up sleep. You got to take. Yeah, this is like
nobody's.
How long
work
you been
harder.
Going, Andrew?
In May, it will be like 6 years from the first time I got on.
And
stage.
Where did you start at? Did you start here,
yeah,
or did you start?
Well, I started a month before I came back. I was in college in California, and I went up on stage there, and then I came back here, and I just kind of went at it. But from the second I went at it, I was like I had money saved up. I was going to open a bar. Mm-hmm. I just spent all that money not working and trying to
and that's
survive
that's the type of dedication.
While you do
here's
stand
thing,
up.
That's the type of dedication. Comedy, like for me, I heard like when I got into comedy, I was late in the game. I had kids, I had a family, I had sick parents.
It's different, man.
It's
you got
different.
Responsibility.
Like
man.
When you yeah. young, here's the thing, like and you know, what's his name? Aziz Ansari.
Aziz, mm-hmm. yeah.
One thing, let me tell you something, before he actually blew up, I remember him talking to me
yeah.
one night at the old Boston
I remember him
about
being
his
here.
Set, about his set that he was getting ready to do it at the first rebuilding of the Vegas Comedy Festival. He was like, Mark, I don't know about these jokes, this and that. He went out there, killed it, won. And his career has just been off the hook since.
When I first started
Wait,
working
who,
here,
Aziz,
he was like
Aziz?
Just
who's that?
Ansari.
Aziz Ansari.
India
he's on
dude.
Parks and Recreation.
Oh,
and he's like,
yeah.
He had
yeah.
some MasterCard. Was
oh,
it MasterCard?
Yeah.
American,
MasterCard.
Express,
he's
American Express commercials.
He was
yeah.
in that, what was that, 30 minutes or?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right,
you know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah,
dude.
With the dude from...
from
Eastbound and Down.
Yeah, Eastbound
yeah.
Down.
And I'll tell you this. He used
social
to,
network.
You can ask Marina Franklin. He used to bark for Marina Franklin.
Really?
When
he's
Marina,
funny, man.
When Marina used to, Marina used to.
I've never seen a stand-up. But
Marina
yeah.
used to book the Blue Night over at the old Boston. I know, guys.
Sundays. Right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Back in the day. And it was just like, dude, he hustled.
Dude, you never
it.
Know,
you
man.
Gotta work,
it just,
man.
That's what
I
you
mean,
gotta
like,
do.
You
gotta
like, work. To be honest, Andrew, yeah. like, I never knew who you were.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I mean, I've been working here at the club as an employee for like 8 years.
Yeah, I just started
but
working here.
But
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
all of
when
a sudden,
Jeff
like,
brought you.
Yeah, yeah. Jeff brought me over here.
Jeff
and,
who?
Hernandez.
Hernandez.
Oh,
well,
did he?
I did a
yeah.
show once he started.
You were never
show
here before Jeff?
No, Hard Knock.
Hard Knock was my first. I mean, I did, I think, maybe a spot or something like that,
really?
But it wasn't. But yeah. I never really came in and hung out. And not that I think there's anything wrong with hanging out, but, man, I was
it's
like.
It's brutal, man.
Not that it was brutal. For me, it was always like, what can I be doing to get better?
Yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
I'll listen to sets
oh, yeah.
over and over, rewrite my whole. I was so meticulous, especially in the beginning. I would watch every stand-up video on YouTube that was available on openers and just study every opening joke
yeah.
and go, how do, okay, what did that joke do? This, like, I refuse to fail.
Yeah, but that
you
never
know what I mean?
like
I just refuse yeah. that.
Watching
yeah.
other people's comedy
time,
though,
yeah,
watching
first,
other people's comedy
here,
doesn't
man,
interfere
it.
With like I feel
it,
like if I'm listening,
it
to,
does,
like, I used to be a huge Mitch Hedberg fan
yeah, and, then you
and Brian
Mitch,
Regan,
but you
and I start
take
sounding like
out
them.
Of it. You got to go. Not what is Mitch's
you gotta
cadence?
Be, you got to be objective. You got to look at
exactly
the
what
science.
Exactly. What is it about this joke? Is this joke very general? Is this joke so everybody can relate to? Is this joke make the audience feel smart? Does this joke make the audience feel stupid? What is it about this joke and how does it affect his personality?
Or the other side of that, the other side of it is this, and I know you'll catch this. Was that joke actually really funny, or was it the way he did it, and was it his confidence?
Sure.
Because a lot of times I've written jokes that I think are horrible, and I'll throw it in the middle of like a set, because I'll have a blank out moment and it'll kill, and I'm like, but wait a minute, why? And I watch that tape over, and I'm like, it was the confidence behind that joke. So now I know I could do that joke whenever I want.
And your persona.
Right.
It's like they were feeling who you were. Like Patrice had this joke that was a corny-ass joke, but so funny. He goes, I jerk off so much in the shower, I'm surprised my drain
yeah.
isn't pregnant. Now, Patrice is the smartest comic I've ever seen. That's not the best joke ever, but it's so funny just hearing him say it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And the idea of a drain being pregnant. It's just so funny. Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. It's just sometimes.
He painted a great picture.
Like, yeah. How often do you Picasso. Come up with a joke that you're like, oh, man, there's no way I just came up with this?
I never think about it. I try to just, even from the beginning, I just want to be, I trust that I'm funny.
But you never had a joke where you're like, oh, man, this is good.
No, because
like where you haven't done it yet on stage.
No, so you get on stage.
But you're like, oh, my God, this is good. There's no way I just thought of this.
I don't know how to write like that. I don't know how to write like I write it before and then I go on stage. I don't even know the funny parts until I'm on stage. As a matter of fact, every time I write a joke and I think it's hilarious before I go on stage, when I go on stage, it bombs. I need that. I don't write in a let's say, a classical style where it's like, dun dun dun, dun and now you laugh. Yeah. I got to find where you laugh. I just rant. I just kind of like riff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's the way I do it. Dude, that's the way I've been doing it for 15 years.
Did you do more improv?
And then you find the beats in it.
And then you find the beats.
And then you could pause and do that kind of shit.
But it's a slower process for guys like us.
But it's slower, but at the same time, you get a different laugh.
It's more powerful. It's a different laugh.
You get a different laugh.
You get those like applause break laughs. Or you get those laughs when people are like, you could see
it's stomach laughs, right. But and when they applaud, it's not like, oh, this is the part of the joke that you applaud at.
Right. It's it's not played out. It's
exactly.
Just never,
the applause comes from I can't laugh anymore.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? It's not like some people they go dun 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 dun. Oh, that was clever. Right. And then there's some Patrice. He just hits you so many times over the head.
Boom boom
in the
boom boom.
He stays
boom.
In the meat of the joke. For so long, you just got to start clapping because it's like...
You know, I saw Patrice like on an episode of Yes, Dear one time, and it was the most hilarious. He played a tow truck driver, but it was the most hilarious. He had like one line, like maybe every 15 minutes or whatever, but hilarious.
Crazy.
You know?
Do you remember when he was on Arrested Development? It was genius.
Yeah, no, I never really...
You got it. Check it out. Check out. You know what? He was on like 2 episodes or 3 episodes of Arrested Development.
I always saw him more angry on stage than I saw him.
Comedic actor, Patrice.
Really?
I thought
he did funny stuff acting.
I thought he did funny stuff, but I didn't think... I'll tell you why. Because I think Patrice's strength was his intellect. And it's hard to get that across in acting. In acting, when you're being funny, for the most part, unless you're being snarky... You're being detached. You're being stupid. You're acting like you don't know what's happening around you. And the great thing about Patrice was he was so aware of what's happening around
him.
He was very present, that he could comment on it. So I thought that fought the medium. Like, I would never see Patrice as an actor. You know, and there's certain comics, like George Carlin. I don't see him as an actor.
Yeah.
I see
Carlin didn't see himself as an actor, which was great.
It wasn't his style. He's an observer. He's someone who needs a talk show. Or he needs that kind of format. Mm-hmm. Whereas Adam Sandler is a character.
Oh, yeah.
So he's brilliant when you see him in a comedic setting. And that's something I thought about myself, too, in terms of, like, how to promote myself and where I could get on in different situations is how am I funny? Am I funny in my ideas? Am I funny in the characters I do? Am I funny in my own persona?
But you know you're going to get acting work.
I've done some acting work.
And a totally straight guy who's got...
I like how you got to qualify.
No, I'm just going to say, I have to qualify. But you know, you're an attractive dude, so you're going to get acting work, bro.
Man, I'll take it, man, for sure.
All right, you guys, we're going to have to take a break.
Thank you, Andrew Schultz, for coming out. Mark Anthony Ramirez, man.
We appreciate it. Tom E. Jesse, this is Wasted Time, man. We're going to keep going in a few minutes.
Supermodels.